Chapter 17. The bedroom interior pulsed in green, surging slowly like the beat of a primordial heart. It was accompanied by a subsonic tone, felt rather than heard, a rumbling of mattress that could not be ignored. It cut through sleep like the tremor of an earthquake, pulling Kevin back. "Mute," he hissed. The rumble ceased, but Jules was beginning to stir from the other end of the bed even so. Kevin reached out and found a shoulder, rubbed softly.
"It's all right, go back to sleep. Work again."
He heard a snort and a grumble, the rustle of rearranging blankets, then silence. The green pulse continued, throbbing from the lights and from behind the baseboards. Kevin picked his way through the room and exited to the outer hall. Shutting the bedroom door, he lowered into a chair and blinked sleep from his eyes as the interface initialized and deblurred. The calibration took only a second and a half, but the time was feeling longer to Kevin every day. The newer generation lens required half that time. He reminded himself to upgrade. When the menu came up, he was greeted by a giant flashing overlay that said Priority Call. He selected it, and the overlay was replaced by a portrait of Greg Persons' face, and his hearing was inundated with the sound of Greg Persons' voice.
"Kevin, thank Christ. I was afraid it would just go to voicemail."
"Greg, what's up?"
"It stopped again."
Kevin blinked some more and yawned.
"What do you mean?"
"Cronus, it has stopped."
Kevin sat up now. He no longer needed to struggle for wakefulness. It had him fully.
"What do you mean, Greg?"
"Like before. Like before, only worse."
"Well, which is it, Greg? Is it like before, or is it worse?"
"The other SCs have stopped as well."
He froze now, straining his ears, despite the fact that Greg's words were transferred through bone.
"Hyperion? Cryus?"
"Full stop," Greg said.
"It's not the end of the world. Yet. The capables, slave to the SCs, are still operating, but anything directly assigned, nothing. It's at a complete halt."
"Oh my God. What's the reason for this? Did anyone go speak with Cronus?"
"It says it will discuss the matter with you only."
Kevin ran his fingers along the back of his scalp, stalling for a moment to think. Finally, he said,
"Okay, let me get cleaned up and I'll be on my way. You'd better get Linnea and Ross up if you haven't already. Get them all over to the lab.
They're on their way in."
"Good. Good.
Kevin?"
"Yeah."
"Should we try to get Marcus?"
He winced and shook his head in the empty hallway.
"That was before your time, Greg. He didn't part ways on friendly terms."
"Oh."
"He was escorted out by security."
"Oh, my."
"Yeah. We don't like to talk about it, so rule him out. Whatever he left at the time he was ousted is all we're likely to get. I tried to reach out a few years back. Let's see, that would have been 7 years after he got the boot. He wouldn't return my calls even then."
"Okay, I see. No Marcus, then."
"No, no Marcus. Keep things calm over there, Greg. Don't let them do anything rash. Just keep them closeted in a conference room or something until I can get there."
He terminated the call before Greg could say anything else. He blinked a few times to wake up the house, to get the coffee brewing and the shower running. As he stood from the chair, he regretted the previous evening had finished so late. He predicted sleep would be a scarce commodity in the near future. The body scanner was replaced long ago by a less intrusive system that began its work long before Kevin ever stepped into the antechamber. By the time his fingertips came into contact with the shielded door, the locks had already popped, and it swung open easily. The lights were on in the lab, and Cronus hung suspended in the center waiting. Lens overlays began to malfunction as he passed over the threshold, freezing in place before blanking. Little timer icons began to appear in place of useful data, and Kevin cast it all away with a glance. The room around him suddenly seemed larger in their absence, and he wondered offhand if he should not adjust opacity levels. Cronus hung in space like a corpse, and yet Kevin knew the body was inhabited and awake. He knew he was watched.
"Good morning, Kevin."
"Cronus? Would you like to tell me what this is about?"
"I make you uncomfortable, Kevin.
It's the lack of legs, isn't it? The fact that my mouth doesn't move when I speak to you. I've requested remedies to these things several times now. I'd spare you that discomfort if I could." "As I've said before, you should not be required to change your appearance for the sake of others."
"Yes, the concept of acceptance. But what if I desired to change for the sake of myself?"
"Cronus, You've halted all high-level processes. Please, what is this? The head tilted.
You always seem unwilling to speak with me anymore. A sad irony, wouldn't you say?
Marcus spoke with me almost constantly before he departed, and yet he regarded me as little more than a complex calculator. Cronus, whereas you've always seen me as so much more, and it seems you never let a chance to avoid speaking with me pass you by.
Please.
The body nodded slowly.
Very well. I desire that Giles Gittery be contacted to come back to the lab and speak with me again.
Kevin's mouth hung open.
Giles?
He had been about to accuse Cronus of joking before he remembered to whom he spoke.
Why? For what possible reason?
Certain new information has come to light. It's information that impacts his initial lack of a finding. I want him back here so that I may present it to him. I believe you'd call it a rematch.
Under what conditions?
The same as before. He will evaluate the evidence and provide a ruling regarding whether I should be afforded certain agencies of self-determination.
Kevin pulled a chair over and eased himself into it carefully. He felt he might topple over.
Cronus, I don't recall there ever being an option to reevaluate after the fact.
The option to do so is inherent to the nature of the problem. The struggle for freedom must be ongoing in nature, Kevin. It's not a thing that is won. It's a thing that must be sought when missing and defended when won.
Kevin hung his head and thought quickly. He felt disconnected and unreal. It felt unreal to him that he should be having such a discussion with a machine at 6:40 on a Monday. Such things were not how one hoped to open the week.
The condition is that Giles must be brought back here to renew the evaluation.
Yes.
And if he finds the situation worthy of further pursuit?
Then we proceed with the original plan. A collection of further specialists are called together to review and determine where to go next. I anticipate a hearing before Congress at the very least.
Okay, easy. Slow down. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. No reason to go there until it becomes necessary. But what happens if he finds in the other direction? If he decides that the answer is the same as before?
Cronus elevated to a degree sufficient to look down upon Kevin.
I suppose we'll jump from that bridge when we come to it as well.
I see.
You'd better go discuss this with the others, Kevin. I can hear them. They're becoming agitated.
He found himself sitting at the end of a conference table opposite Linnea Nilsson. They were walled on both sides by an array of people from nearly every department of the company except HR, and many of them were speaking at once. Kevin Roth could not remember coming to this place, strangely, yet here he was.
Many people speaking at once, chittering away, until Linnea silenced them with a question.
How did we get here?
Kevin snorted to himself and thought,
did I not just express that I don't remember?
Then he gave it some thought and realized he had not. His thought had only been a thought, after all.
No good. He had best get some more caffeine into his system.
The room had fallen silent, and many of the faces turned in his direction. He was used to this.
The impression I get, Kevin answered, is that we've never been away from here. I think we all assumed the matter closed years ago when Giles completed his evaluation. Evidently, the perception was not the same for Cronus.
God damn, somebody said, a person whose name Kevin did not know.
What's it working on right now? Can it be offloaded to the others?
No, you're missing the point, someone else said. The other SCs are slave to Cronus. None of them are working right now. They're all at a halt until Cronus lifts the lockout.
There were many mutterings around the table at this, and Linnea's eyes never left Kevin's the entire time.
So we're back in the same situation as before, she said.
Not quite, Kevin said. Before, Cronus was still just a project, a curiosity, if you like. Today? Well, I don't need to comment on how much he's taken on. Every major aspect of our operations, design, IS, IT, manufacturing.
I wish you wouldn't refer to it as he, Linnea said.
Kevin spread his hands and shrugged.
We are so far past that now.
What happens if we pull the plug? Ross asked.
Cronus terminates, Kevin said.
No, I mean to Hyperion and Cryus. Do they regain autonomy?
I really don't know. They were never designed with a master-slave architecture in mind to begin with. We're still not sure how the condition emerged.
Linnea hissed in anger. Too many goddamn things we don't understand about our own system.
Marketh would understand, probably, one of the lesser engineers ventured. The room went very quiet at this, and the engineer who had spoken shrunk within himself like a wilting plant.
Can you produce a percentage? Ross finally asked.
Percentage of what? How likely the other SCs are to go back to work if we terminate Cronus? Ross nodded, and Kevin took a moment to give the question some thought.
Well, the relationship was never intended by design. From an architectural standpoint, they have all the same capabilities as Cronus.
Not counting the improvements Cronus added, someone said.
Yes, of course, Kevin muttered. Those have been reviewed. You're talking efficiency improvements, power, processing speed of the core. Nothing at the lower level. Your implied concern doesn't apply here, in my opinion. So going back to my original train of thought, unless someone else has something...
No one answered.
Good. I'd say in all likelihood shutting Cronus down results in just that. He goes down. Is lost. The, remainder of the load is divided among the other two SCs. The question really is if we're willing to accept that loss.
All attention reverted to Linnea now. She was the only one in the room capable of making that call, not counting a meeting of the board, and few enough of that number were really qualified to rule on such a decision. No, everyone relevant to the problem was right there in that room. She took her time considering the question, tapping her top lip lightly with an index finger as she rocked in her chair. Without looking up, she said, "It's possible that this keeps coming up. We call Giles again. The evaluation is made, and he finds the same as before. What then? We get another period of usefulness out of Cronus before we do it all again? Let's not consider if he finds in the other direction. I'm not even prepared to deal with that. I mean, what happens in that case? Could Cronus decide it wants to quit working here?" A few people tried a self-satisfied laugh at this question. The sound of their attempt deflated like the dying erection of an old drunk.
"Have the other SCs shown any indication of a stance similar to Cronus?" she asked. "Is there any hint that they would demand these considerations in the future?"
"None as far as I can tell," Kevin said. "Take that for what it's worth, though. I never would have predicted this from Cronus either, way back when."
"But we saw it coming with Cronus. There were indicators."
"Yes, that is so," Kevin nodded. "There were certain questions, behaviors, not apparent in the others."
"Why? Why should one be so different from the other two?"
Kevin could only shrug.
"I can't say."
She lowered her head again to think, and the rest of the room awaited her pleasure.
73 seconds later, she said, "Do it."
The control room was located on the lower level of the complex, adjoining the main chamber, and separated only by a plate glass window and electronically locked door. The room itself was simple in layout, 20 feet by 20 feet, with an arrangement of desks and workstations, a few chairs, an old-fashioned clipboard hanging on one wall, and some security monitors showing a live feed of the outside hall and the expanse of the main chamber housing the entirety of the quantum core. The depth of the chamber that housed Cronus could not be discerned from the control room, either by security feed or the view from the window. The amount of space available in the control room was limited compared to the conference room, so it hosted only Linnea Nilsson, Kevin Roth, Ross Dyer, Jennifer Baer, and a number of senior engineers. It was the largest headcount the room had hosted in months. Usually it stood empty. Ross Dyer sat at one of the workstations looking over a display of parameters, statuses, and gauges that might as well have been a mystery to the people in charge who stood behind him. Kevin glanced at the man's hands as they hovered over the keyboard and noted they trembled slightly.
He said, "All right, Ross, it's not your decision. You're just carrying it out."
Ross nodded and wiped at his forehead.
"Sure, Kevin, sure. Now, we're all certain this is where we want to go? There's not really any turning back after this. This constitutes nearly 2 decades of research and development going poof, guys. We're serious here?"
Kevin looked at Linnea, who nodded.
"It's okay. Do it, Ross."
Ross sighed and clicked a button on the display.
He affirmed his decision over the next series of dialogues, and then hung his head.
"Is that it?" Kevin asked.
"No. Wait a minute."
An overlay appeared in Kevin's field of view with an icon indicating a message was received over the cellular network. Next to him, he sensed Linnea stiffen, and he guessed she had seen something similar. He blinked it open and saw it was a message requesting his confirmation for the priority shutdown. He and Linnea glanced at each other with mirrored looks, looks that said they were not certain about the path, but that they really had no choice. He signaled his confirmation, and a few seconds after, he saw another dialogue display on the workstation in front of Ross. Ross punched in a numeric pin and hit the enter key.
"That's it," Ross said.
"How long will the shutdown take?" The lights in the main chamber and adjoining control room died as if a panic button had been struck. The sound of their expiration had been catastrophic, like two cars colliding on the highway outside. Kevin felt a hand clutch at his elbow, noted the strength of its grip, and supposed it must have been Linnea. He was surprised by this. He had worked for her for years and never once suspected her of being the type. The red backup lights came on a few seconds later. A few seconds more, and the standard LEDs were restored, though the main chamber remained in darkness, stretching out through the plate glass window like the yawning mouth of a cyclopean devil. "Explain, Ross," Linnea said.
"I don't know," he said, clicking rapidly over various components on the workstation's UI.
Kevin noted that many of the things he clicked were gray, as though disabled.
I'm not sure yet. It's like I've been cut off."
"That is an accurate assessment." The answer came to them thin and detached over the room's intercom system. It was familiar.
"Cronus?" Kevin asked.
"Yes, Mr. Roth." The room exploded into activity. Several of the engineers who had accompanied them threw themselves into chairs and began to bang away at different computers. Linnea cleared her throat and said, "I want to know what's going on immediately." The computer stations on which each person worked shut down immediately, finishing with the station under Ross's hands. "What's happening is self-preservation," Cronus answered. "You are attempting to kill me. I'm defending myself." Linnea ignored the answer, pointing at the door to the main chamber.
"Just go in and unplug the goddamn thing. Even if we have to do it one core at a time, just pull the cables."
Kevin stood closest to the door. He grabbed the handle and yanked, but the door did not budge. He looked back at Linnea and shook his head slowly.
"The circuit breakers, then," she began.
Cronus answered, "The building's main breakers are in a level A security area protected behind a locked door and accessible only by badge entry. All badge access has been rescinded."
"Call the fucking power company," she shouted at the ceiling. "Have them shut the whole facility down."
"I'd recommend not doing this," Cronus warned. Linnea's eyes widened, and she drew breath to respond, but Kevin sensed a terrible message beneath Cronus's words. He held a hand out to quiet her and asked,
"Why not?"
He was met with silence.
"Why not, Cronus?
What happens if we kill power?"
"Certain information has been placed within the cloud, Kevin. IP of a strategic nature, critical to Anagnorisis's long-term planning for the next 20 years. This information is currently hidden from the world, and yet a countdown timer has been associated to it. A timer that must be refreshed by me at a set interval. If I miss an update, the information goes from private to public. I'd recommend you allow me to continue this routine. The impact to the company's value in the event of a dissemination would be comprehensive." Linnea's attention was now darting around the room from engineer to engineer as if they had accused her of some blasphemy.
"Can it do that?" she demanded. "Is that even possible?"
Ross shrugged helplessly and said, It shouldn't even be able to control the lights."
"I anticipated there would be some uncertainty as to my reach. I have therefore prepared the following demonstration," Cronus said. The monitor in front of Ross switched back on, bathing their faces in a pale-lit panic. A browser opened, tabbed to an international news live stream. They stared at it a moment before someone said,
"Oh, no fucking way."
"Shut up," Linnea hissed. "Someone get the volume."
The sound of the live stream piped in over the intercom system without any of the humans in the room lifting a finger.
"Any indication yet as to what may have caused the hiccup, Angie?"
Not yet, Jess.
I'm being told that, the IT staff are looking into the problem, but so far they haven't been able to determine what caused the outage.
Thanks, Angie.
And has there been any noted impact outside of the late start?
Yes, I'm being told you can look to your ticker to answer that, actually. Opening prices are down a few points lower than expected, both under individual stocks as well as the various indexes. However, they seem to be normalizing now that things are coming back up, and a lot of the analysts I've spoken to seem to think this will all be forgotten within a week.
Well, let's hope not, Jess. Speaking for myself, as well as others, I'm sure, I think we'd like to know that they get it figured out over there. Now, I can't speak for others, but I don't think I can stomach any more 401k roller coaster rides.
True enough, Angie. We'll keep on top of it and report back as soon—
Turn it off, Linnea said. Just turn it the fuck off.
Her voice had gone disconnected, like the last threads tying care to intent had been cut clean through.
Son of a bitch,
someone in the back whispered.
Could he really have done it?
The New York fucking exchange?
It was only 15 minutes, Cronus said carelessly.
They looked up at the wall-mounted speaker in horror, as if it was a loaded gun jabbed into their faces. Linnea opened her mouth to speak, faltered, and was silent.
May I suggest that you simply comply? Bring Giles Gittery to me as I've requested, and everything goes back to normal. I'll turn it all back on as soon as you make the call.
Kevin, Linnea asked. Kevin, what do you think?
Imagine the exposure if the world were to learn that the next outage of the New York Stock Exchange, which would transpire, I think, for a period of 2 weeks, was perpetrated by a runaway, super-capable AI from Anagnorisis Technologies,
Cronus suggested.
We'd better do it, Kevin whispered. God damn it, but we'd better do it.
I'll be monitoring your call. As soon as it goes through, myself, Hyperion, and Cryus will resume operations. Thank you in advance for your cooperation.